Like to call to order the Historic Landscape Subcommittee of the Tucson Pima County Historical Commission, Thursday morning, January 18th at 9:03 a.m. And we will start with roll call. Jeff Elwind,
Present.
Helen Erickson,
Present.
Jan Mulder,
Present.
JJ Lamb,
Present.
and Steve Grady present. So we have a quorum. I'm going to invite our guests to introduce themselves, and we'll start with Jody Brown.
Good morning. My name is Jody Brown. I'm the City of Tucson Historic Preservation Officer.
And Jasmine Chan. Jasmine, you're here.
It seems like Jasmine might be having audio issues. You might want to come back to her.
I'll come back. Okay. And Stephen Addison.
Hi, Stephen Addison, City of Tucson, environmental scientist.
Thank you. And Amy.
Amy Perrone, landscape architect and senior associate at Norris Design.
Thank you. And Jason.
Good morning, Jason Kuklinski, Principal Landscape Architect, Norris Design.
Thank you. And Matt.
Good morning, Matt Smith, Landscape Architect with ARC Studios.
Thank you. And Eric.
Eric Barrett, Principal Landscape Architect, ARC Studios.
Thank you. Thank you all for being here. So the first item on our agenda is approval of the Historic Landscape Subcommittee meetings from actually August 17th, 2003. So, do I have a motion?
This is
Helen,
Jake.
motion
So
to
moved.
approve.
Okay, that was JJ.
Yeah, I can second then, Helen.
Okay. Any discussion? Okay, we'll do roll call for our vote. Jeff Elwind.
Or Jeff Owen, was that?
Yes. We're voting on the motion to approve the minutes of our
Oh,
previous.
sorry. Yeah, I vote in favor.
Okay. And Helen,
Aye.
Jan,
Aye.
and JJ,
Aye.
and myself, Steve Grady, aye. So the motion passes unanimously. Okay. The next item on our agenda is virtual hybrid or in-person transportation. It says transportation, but it should say Historic Landscape Subcommittee. The discussion at this point is whether to continue an a virtual, which is a Zoom only, a hybrid, which is Zoom and in person, or in person only meeting going forward. And I would welcome a discussion and or motion.
Okay, this is Helen. I think we should go for the hybrid variety because it has the greatest possible option for us.
And is that a motion?
I can make an emotion if someone else doesn't want to.
Steve, sorry to interrupt.
Yes, Jody.
If you do go to hybrid, you have to think about where you're going to hold your meetings. You do need to have the capability to actually do the hybrid meetings, like the computer, the like projector, all of that stuff. So, I mean, that is something that you want to keep in mind.
Judy, can you advise us on that? Is there a city facility that we could use?
I mean, Jody, can we have access to the same room that PRS uses?
Yeah, I mean it, you would just have to give me forewarning.
Sure.
Okay. There's, I mean, there's other, there's also conference rooms. There's a conference room on the third floor that is smaller than slightly smaller. Jan knows the PRS room. It's slightly smaller, but it would probably accommodate the landscape subcommittee.
Yeah, anything but what we had the full commission in.
Okay, this is JJ. It does, having participated in a couple of hybrid meetings, it does seem like often there are some, I don't know, some other challenges. You know, hearing the audio, you know, and then, you know, if Steve is the only one that's not virtual, then he's sitting in that conference room by himself.
We did have, for the commission meeting, what is it, 18 members strong, we had two commissioners show up.
Yeah.
It was a rather large room. It was via Teams. They had us move to the front row, and I think there was some issues with city clerk not sharing her screen, so you guys who were virtual couldn't see us that were in the room. We've done okay with PRS. PRS is in a smaller room. It's got a rather big screen. It would be a matter of probably just doing a training session with whoever was going to be present in the room so that they understand the equipment and what to do. Because I'm not always in your meetings. I'm in your meetings when there's an item that is going to PRS or Steve requests that I come to these meetings, but I'm typically not in it. So it would just be a matter of it. And it is a little bit, even with PRS, I would say it's a little bit, what's the word I'm looking for? Not as smooth on the operator's end, just because you're having to pull up different things and do different things with the keyboard and stuff like that. So it's not a smooth operation. That's what I guess I'm trying to
say. I think it's a learning curve too. I mean, we've been about 50-50 in PRS in terms of attendance and in person. And I think it's for all of us learning who you're speaking to. It's nice to have the option, but I understand for some people, it's just a non-starter too, to be in person. So I appreciate that. So.
Thank you. I do have a question, Jody. Does it have to be on a city facility, or could Pima Community College host it?
From what I understand, the city clerk will allow it to be not in a city facility. It's just a matter of having all the equipment so everybody can participate. So we have in the PRS, and you guys didn't see it, Jan knows it, but underneath our large computer screen, there is a camera so that it shows who's in the room. Mm-hmm. And you just have to kind of talk, and there's speakers, and you just have to talk towards that. And I think that's what the city clerk is ultimately looking for, so that we can see you on the screen when you're virtual, but you can see us when we're in the room during the in-person part. So, I mean, if the Pima Community College has that, then I don't see why not.
They do. I'll have to see about the facilities, but they do. If we were to have it listed as hybrid, and a I guess if you have it hybrid, you have to have a physical location.
Correct.
Okay.
And you have to. So the new thing is, so you note on your agenda where it is in person, you know, and your additional information of like virtual, but you also have to note how much time prior to the meeting people can access the room. So typically I've just been putting 5 minutes. The room will be available for access 5 minutes to the meeting start time or something like that. You can look at PRS meetings have been set up the last couple ones. So you can look at that agenda and you can see how that is set up on mine. It's, you know, and if you want to use the city facilities, just let me know. I probably just have to, like probably a week ahead of time, I can book it and find a room for you guys.
Excellent. Thank you. Okay. So Helen, does that, is that a motion?
Well, I think Jan's information on this is perhaps the most relevant. because she's actually had the experience of doing this. I do know that we have the potential of doing this at Pima Community College because that's how you've been teaching lately. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I don't think we have a major facility issue. I don't know if anybody else. I'll go ahead and make the motion that we do hybrid.
I'll second.
Okay. Discussion? All those in favor, we'll do a roll call. Jeff Elwind?
Aye.
Helen Erickson?
Aye.
Jan Mulder?
Aye.
JJ Lamb?
Aye.
And Steve Grady? Aye. So the motion passes unanimously. Thank you. And Jody, we'll be in touch about facilities, and I'll just check on facilities available at Pima. I think that we might have a room that works there too. Next is item four, review cases, discussion action. And that is El Presidio Streetscape Project. Activate El Presidio Streetscape Project. And if you have a presentation, I've allowed sharing. So,
thank you. I'll go ahead and share my screen and we'll get started. Thank you for having us on the agenda today. We're looking forward to sharing the updates on this project with you all. I believe you had a cursory review of this project maybe a few months back. So hopefully the presentation isn't too boring, but looking forward to hearing your feedback and seeing this project move forward.
Thank you, Amy.
Activate El Presidio is a project with Rio Nuevo. They started this effort pre-COVID. They went through a visioning exercise with the people for public spaces. And our team has taken that overall vision, helped Rio Nuevo and the city of Tucson to develop a plan to put that into construction and really implement it. The goal of the overall project is to activate historic El Presidio, reinvigorating the vibrant district while preserving its rich heritage. We're looking to, you know, add to the cultural context. We don't want to take away from that. The other big layer of this project is to increase walkability and visibility for the pedestrian. So wanting when people to come, you know, visit Tucson Museum of Art, they're able to see the paint on the ground or some other visual components that help draw them into rest of Presidio to the other museums and restaurants and spend more time exploring the historic neighborhood. The project also uses an overlay of lighter, quicker, cheaper with some temporary mindset so that if Rio Nuevo or the city, the business owners, if these elements need to move later on, they can be easily taken off-site or I don't want to say demolished because the goal is for it all to be movable. There is a sunset date that is being implemented where in 3 years after all of this is installed, Rio Nuevo, City of Tucson will take a look at the elements, go back through and understand if and how it impacted the historical context and sense of place of the neighborhood, and do an overall look at maintenance, the health of the trees and materials. Really quick, before we dive into all of the areas, our team did a site analysis. We looked at several things. This is just one of those slides where we were looking at stormwater drainage and tree canopy. We walked around and took note of all of the existing trees. It's a wider range of plant palette in this site. As I'm sure some of you are aware, we also took note of all of the textures, colors, and we love plants. So looking more at the plants and specifically the understory that's present in the neighborhood. So there's wood, stone, brick, tile, lots of great elements out here. A good mix of desert plants with maybe some of our higher water use plants that we see around Tucson, but a good variety of desert plants. And so we took all of that information into our proposed plant palette. There is a few new landscape areas being proposed or expanded. So our trees, our two primary trees are the desert willow and the Leslie Roy mesquite. And then sticking to the desert shrubs and accents that are seen throughout the neighborhood and across the street at the courthouse, historic courthouse. Other proposed materials are wood and steel for the planters. We have a column, kind of an entryway column being proposed that uses the lava rock and the adobe brick. We also have fiberglass planters. And then the paint on the ground, again, we'll look at that a little bit closer. Here, I just, on the right-hand side of the screen, want to point out, we have a graphic hatches or designations on the plans right now for where that paint happens. The yellow, pinkish red, blue, green are not the colors being proposed, and they're not the patterns being proposed. It's just graphic representation. The patterns on the right of those colors are closer to what's being proposed by Living Street Alliance, and they're diving into exactly how big those squares are, how big those diamonds are, etc. The paint colors will be tied to the dome. So we wanted to, and this was a request from the El Presidio neighborhood, was, I believe, Stephen, correct me if I'm wrong in saying that, but it was to tie the colors back to the dome. This project is in 9 different sites within the historic El Presidio neighborhood, and we'll dive into each of these a little bit more. But you can see here, it creates some great opportunities for visual, a little bit for cars, but again, focusing on that pedestrian level and being able to see that there's more happening and kind of drawing people in to the La Cocina area and El Charro area. The first site is on Court Avenue in front of El Presidio Museum. These are just some images of what's existing out there currently on the right. Getting into the design here, we have a proposed streetery that was designed using the City of Tucson's shared space manual or design guidelines. It's very similar to what you've been seeing on Congress. Up north here with the paint bump out, we have landscape containers, additional bike parking to encourage that other ways of transportation besides just the vehicles. Street trees in or the desert willows in larger landscape containers. The streetery is right in front of the Presidio Museum entrance. The goal of this space is really to have a space for people to gather either before going into the museum or, you know, maybe go get a snack, coffee from the bakery and spend some time sitting down in this space. We also are introducing a few new seating elements with benches in this area as well. The brownish red color that you see up around the buildings, and here's a salvaged brick to match what's on Alameda. And that's just filling in existing dirt areas to help expand ADA accessibility and just help widen the sidewalks a little bit. Taya Street is the next section. This, again, a few photos of what's existing on the street currently. And then the proposed design here adds more paint, not just to the bump outs, but on the sidewalks. It starts to wrap the design into the Tucson Museum of Art courtyard. We have planters that and the bump outs of paint following that shared space guidelines, additional parking again. We are also proposing some festoon lighting to add some ambient light. We're not expecting that to be, you know, a great big source of lighting or adding too much light. That wouldn't match or meet Pima County dark sky ordinances. The lights that we're proposing would be attached to poles that we're designing to have the existing parking meter. So let me back up, sorry. There's existing parking meters where we have the lights. We would like to take the parking meters, attach a pole. We have a detail to kind of expand those vertically and attach the poles to those. The parking meters then would be moved to just a kiosk. So it would become a kiosk payment system instead of the individual meters. And we've been coordinating all of that with Tucson Parking. Landscape on this, again, the desert willows and the square containers and smaller understory plantings and the smaller planters. Washington Street right now is already has some elements in it, as you can see with this, the tables and umbrellas. They already have the festoon lighting, which we would be replacing all of these elements and have been coordinating with the owners here as well. The proposed design includes additional streeteries. These are made from steel and fabric, so it would be a fabric shade structure. With the fabric, we're using the fabric because we want to still have the visibility to those buildings. We know that's very important. We believe the fabric achieves that. I have some sections and things here in a minute that we can look at how that might look more closely. This also introduces a few more trees and play areas, game areas, cornhole, maybe a hopscotch, painted on the ground if space allows. I mean, you can walk over it and paint on either end of Washington. The image here is an example of that light pole with the festoon lights. There could be space for banners if Rio Nuevo, City of Tucson, or the business owners or the neighborhood would like to put banners on those. And then the shade sail, something similar to this is what we're talking about with the canopies in these areas. So here's a closer look at that section or elevation. This is looking towards JoJo's or La Cocina. Having a hard time with the name change there. But you can see the old town artisans building, and here the canopies are much, well, I guess about half the size of that building. They're visible through. You'll have the seating elements. You have space for the La Cocina entry. And then here you can see with the trees, festoon lighting, the La Cocina courtyard wall, and just how all of these elements start to layer on top of each other. So there are section elevations of the of Washington looking towards Meyer, with Old Town Artisans, Object Hotel, and the relationship of the shade sails, canopies, and spaces for those. These are a few more details on what those streeteries look like. We've had quite a bit of discussion around these in the last meetings. So I think a couple of these slides might be new from what you've seen previously or what was sent out earlier this week, but we wanted to make sure we provided visuals and gave you a good idea of what these were all starting to look like. Luckily, those three areas were the probably most detailed, so areas 4 through 9 may go a little bit faster here. This is Alameda and Court, again, with the existing context and site elements within these. We are proposing to expand some of the landscape areas around the Tucson Museum of Art building. We have images of what that of the containers would look like. This is one of the Presidio columns that we were, or that I mentioned previously, that would be made out of the lava rock and steel. That would be placed on the southwest corner of Court and Alameda. Alameda and Main Avenue context here. This is in front of the Tucson Water building. All of the existing trees would remain in place. We'd be adding a few additional landscape containers up along Main, have some sidewalk paint added here, and then just replant the existing landscape areas, just freshen it up a little bit. Court Avenue, which is the Museum of Art entrance courtyard, context on the right. And proposed here would be adding some paint. We wouldn't be touching any of the existing brick that's on the ground here, but we would like to add brick around the art element in the median on Alameda to just give that a little bit more space for people to walk up to the art, take pictures, and just be a little more accessible in that space. We're proposing adding a few trees in this area. We have bike racks that would be added later by City of Tucson that may be, or by the art museum, that would be a little bit more custom, similar to the custom bike racks in front of the library. This space also proposes wrapping the existing trees with string lights and adding a few seating elements here. Area 7 is the Transamerica building at Church in Alameda. Space again on the right. This space, we are not proposing enhancements to any of the landscape areas, but we are proposing a few landscape containers along the road. Again, paint. The paint is designed to not overlap or come close to the turquoise trail paint that is currently in this area. We're also proposing to just shift the existing seating around a little bit here in this bottom section. We're also proposing some wayfinding maps on the light pole signage, so you can see a rendering of what that might look like here in the bottom right. Area 8 is Church Avenue at the Library Park. So this is that brick area and kind of amphitheater seating space. We're proposing the Leslie Roys to be added in into this space, add festoon lighting, and as a future project, recommending art pavers by City High School or some type of art element to be added here where this pink red hatch is located. That's about it for this space. Compacted granite being added to the amphitheater, just providing a little bit more shade and visual interest into this to this space to activate it. Lastly, Core Avenue from Washington to Council. This is the space in front of El Charro. This space has the bump outs with the paint, paint on sidewalks, and as you go down court, paint here as well. Again, trying to pull that visual interest from Franklin, and you know, as regardless if you're going north on court or south on court, you start to see these visual elements and help pull people through the site. There's festoon lighting proposed here as well in the similar manner of the parking meter poles being raised. Landscape containers and areas for some future future streeteries or future elements as others would like are also being proposed. So just holding some spaces for those things to happen. This is a nice large image of the existing condition in front of Presidio neighborhood on court. This is a rendering of what we're wanting that to, or what our design would be looking like. Here you can see the trees, what that, what the streetery in front of this building would look like. That does have a steel roof. That was done purposefully to try to help get that same diagonal line that you see on the Presidio Museum. And you here can see the paint bump outs as well with the bollards. The existing condition on Tejas. And then the proposed on here as well. This has some more temporary elements in it, like if the street were to be closed for an event or something, that pop up, that tent pop up, is not a formal design element in the plans. This also gives you a good idea of what those street or the festoon lighting is looking like and what we're trying to do there. That is the end of the presentation. I'm happy to flip back through any of those designs or areas and look at them a little bit closer and discuss or answer questions.
Thank you, Amy. I had a question on area 6. You talked about seating elements, but I don't have a sense of what they might be.
That's a great question. Let me flip back to that slide here. So currently we're calling these out as seat walls, but I want to be careful with that term too, because the original idea was to use the, Stephen, I'm going to have the wrong name for them, but the plastic blocks that are being made by or maybe not by Kazatchik, but
the bifusion blocks.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So we would like to try to use those. If that's not possible, our plans call out for CMU, but they would. That's what those would be.
And can you show us where they would go?
Yep, they are. Let me see if it will let me zoom in here. Maybe not. They would just be going here under the trees.
And one of our questions that I think we're probably going to be asking about a number of these is the permanence of these elements, because I think most everything proposed has a certain temporary nature to be revisited in the future. Can you help us understand which, because I noticed in, I think the first slide, the seating looked very permanent. Which elements would you consider kind of permanent, and which would you consider more temporary, something in the lines of the things which, you know, has a lifespan?
Yeah, let me go back to that page you're talking about so we can make sure we're looking at the same seating. So the benches in particular can all be surface mounted. That's just with the bolt that can be easily bolt taken out, benches moved. They're only bolted down so other people don't decide to move them, but it's done by the city or Rio Nuevo. The elements that I would say would be more permanent are the Presidio columns, so the two entryway columns, and probably those sea walls with the blocks. Everything else is either bolted down or can be used or, you know, moved by hand truck, forklift. You know, the streeteries aren't, they don't have footings into the ground. They're heavy, bottom heavy. They would be, they're designed to be picked up by a forklift and moved or dismantled in that way.
Thank you. That's very helpful.
Great.
Okay. Comments, questions?
Hey, this is Helen. First of all, I am really glad to see that there is a sunset date involved now. That was a question of major concern as when we first saw this, and I think that makes sense. So in terms of that, what is the paint durability? I mean, when you talk about it existing for 3 years, does this mean it will have deteriorated to the point that you can no longer see it? Or is that actually a permanent aspect of this?
Yeah, so the paint is similar to the other painting projects that we've seen around town, the newest one being in front of the Corbett building on 6th and 7th, also the paint in front of the Children's Museum. The paint we're proposing here is all out of vehicle, outside of vehicle traffic, so it should last longer. It's not going to be driven over and, you know, turned black from dirt. I think the paint at 4th Avenue and 6th Street has been in for about 3 years, maybe a little bit longer. And we're starting to see that to, you know, start fading. So it's paint. It's not going to last forever. we'll need to revisit it in 3 years and I think see how it's held up and right. Someone would have to make the decision.
Well, again, I think what we're trying to do here, and I think Steve's question as well, is to evaluate what are the permanent impacts on site and what are things that are clearly in the nature of a temporary exhibit and to try to distinguish between those. So that's my concern number one I'd like to talk about with other members of this group. I mean, the seat wall, again, I think if you are determining, putting into place something that will be permanent or semi-permanent, it's something that should be considered differently from something that is temporary. So that's thing number one. Thing number two question is, are all the trees going to be desert willow? And if so, why specifically desert willow?
Yeah. So the trees in the square planters are all being proposed as desert willow. One of the first comments we received from the neighborhood was that they wanted a very low leaf litter tree. So that was one. We had proposed a few other trees. They weren't happy with those. And we landed on the desert willow. Also, just from the size of the container, we wanted something a little bit smaller. Didn't want to, you know, maybe a mesquite that might blow over.
Okay, I would be interested in how other members of the subcommittee consider the difference between temporary and permanent installations.
This is Jan. I'll just make one comment about the paint. You referenced 4th Avenue and 6th Street, and that is a location that's got a lot of traffic, and so it's a very different installation than an area without vehicle traffic. That started degrading pretty quickly, or at least becoming black fairly quickly because of the car traffic. And I think an area without traffic is going to persist much longer if it's the same kind of paint and be visible. And I had a question about the tree choice, only in that it came up at PRS that I thought you said that the Presidio District was not happy with the desert willow. Is that correct? And then PRS said, well, they wanted to hear from Historic Landscapes if kind of as the experts, the comfort versus not comfort or alternatives, if that really wasn't, versus just Presidio saying we don't like desert willow.
I think just to make sure we're talking about the same group, the neighborhood liked
historic
the desert
zone
willow.
Oh, they did. Okay.
The neighborhood did.
At the presentation, I think PRS had it conflated then.
Oh, I
that
apologize.
They didn't. And so there was this whole struggle with, well, if they're weighing in on the not liking it and you were tilting that way, then we definitely wanted to hear from this group. So that thanks for clarifying that.
Yeah, and Steve and I have that right, correct, that the neighborhood requested the desert willow. Okay.
Yeah, because we had a long discussion about, well, why isn't it appropriate? Why are they? Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Yes, well, again, you know, I think this is Helen. The idea of the sunset date, I appreciate that tremendously. And I'm just sort of wondering what the pragmatics of this would be. In other words, if we reach the sunset date and we have a discussion and it is determined that the paint should be removed, is that part of the plan? In other words, Where are we going with this? I'm more concerned about permanent impacts on the streetscape rather than temporary impacts, which I think are, you know, perfectly acceptable. So that would be one concern. The benches would be, the wall benches would be another concern, because I think that when you're doing that kind of construction, that has to be considered as a separate item from the rest of this project.
And I hope I'm not speaking out of turn here, but if those seat walls are too permanent, we're happy to do something less permanent. You know, those can be something similar to the benches. They could become a bench. They could, we would be happy to switch those out if that would make, if that makes this group more comfortable.
Right. Well, I'm just trying to pull apart the temporary and the permanent, and whatever is permanent, you know, perhaps designed as a temporary, what did you say, lighter, quicker, cheaper, but ends up being a permanent installation in the neighborhood. And so it's sort of trying to look beyond this installation to what end impacts might be involved here. And on the whole, I think things are very temporary here. I think the choice of the desert willow as a unifying feature for what you're doing is probably acceptable. Was it only because of a suggestion, or is it particular shade, deciduous? I mean, I just like to know the thinking behind the desert willow in general.
Yeah, it was the size and the low leaf litter. And we're happy if this group has a suggestion for a different species, we're happy to hear that as well.
Was it selected to be consistent because this would give unity to your project?
Yeah, partially. We would like to increase the unity of the project. The container size here too is, you know, they're 5 feet by 5 feet, so it's small, or you know, smaller for a tree, and so we wanted to be strategic in what type of tree we put into that space.
And was the you know, historically traditional sour orange considered as this possible tree?
We were looking at low water use. I guess I don't know the water use of that tree, but we didn't consider it just because we were thinking specifically of desert low water use.
Right. Well, again, you know, the when you're talking about desert low water use, it's possible that there are, I myself don't know. Steve, do you know what the water use of the citrus would be?
I think it would be harder to get it established, especially since it's not deciduous. So we would be looking at more water. But I don't have any statistics. I don't think a lot of work has been done on the sour orange. I know once established, it's very drought tolerant. There are, I understand because it, the desert willow also has a relatively fast growth. And some of the others, such as Texas Mountain Laurel, and those which would have that deeper green, more permanent and some flowering characteristic out of season, are so slow growing that in a temporary installation, they would be really small. So I think the desert willow does grow in pretty quickly into a size that would be significant, visually significant. But interestingly, I don't know, if one of my questions would be, has research been done on if this neighborhood ever had street trees?
It had actually. Street trees were in front of the section of the museum where mm-hmm. the historic houses are. Mm-hmm. And there is a tree which is regarded as a historic tree, right along that let's see, that would be the west side.
What species is it? Is it an ash?
I don't think it's an ash. It is a venerable tree, that is for sure.
So I know that a lot of the street tree planting in Tucson was ash, more towards downtown, and chinaberry into the neighborhoods. But
this tree actually is in the 19th century photo.
Okay.
So whatever it is, it was there. And I'm embarrassed that I can't tell you what it is.
I don't think that desert willow would have historically been used as a street tree, was it?
No, no. I think if we consider a desert willow, we definitely consider that as something that's part of the installation. I think that it would be very, when you're planting trees in containers, I think it'd be very difficult to approach that as though we were trying to replant historic vegetation.
Agreed.
It strikes me that's perfectly, perfectly relevant. So I guess my concerns come back down to paint and the wall benches, really.
I have a third one, Helen, if that's okay. The poles for the festoon lighting, are those set in footings?
So that's why we're wanting to use the existing parking meters, is so that we're not digging new footings for those.
Okay.
Yeah. So we would just be extending what's currently there.
Okay. That's helpful. Any other questions or comments? I do want to thank you, Amy, and everyone on the Norris team for a very thoughtful and beautifully prepared presentation. So well done. And you've made it able for easily for us to visualize and understand the project. So thank you very much. And your presentation was very thoughtful and complete. So thank you.
Thank you, Stephen. Go ahead, Ellen.
Sorry, I don't know why I'm interrupting. I would like to request, in terms of the benches, that come back for future discussion, because that seems to be something that we would, you know, it is going to be permanent if it is a seawall. And so I think that needs to be considered per se. And again, I think when we're talking about a 3-year sunset, I think it's really important that it comes back to the historical commission at the 3-year sunset date, so that we can rediscuss where we need to go from there. So those are my two requests.
And Steve, I just wanted to clarify, isn't this still a courtesy review? It was a courtesy review at PRS. So hopefully it would come back to us anyway when it's more fleshed out. Is that true?
I'm not sure. Jody, can you help us with that?
It is a courtesy review for you because you are not making a recommendation. You're just commenting and providing clarity. It is not a courtesy review for PRS. It is now within the permitting that they're trying to get permits. So when Helen is requesting clarification or for them to come back on the seats, when are you looking for that to come back? Are you continuing this because you want to have more discussion about the seats? Or are you looking for that to come back at the sunset date so you can have...
Thank you. Thank you, Jody. I would just like to make sure that plans review is aware of the concerns of the Historic Landscape Subcommittee with regard to permanent elements and whether that is paint or whether it's the benches. I think plans review needs to look at that.
And for further clarification for our team on that, if they weren't seat walls, if they became a steel bench or something like this other one that we've proposed earlier on, would that ease concerns? Were like one of these?
Amy, it would certainly ease concerns. The question really needs to be, though, perhaps the seat walls are, you know, I think that's the real question. And I don't know how the rest of this group feels, but just at the moment, I don't feel it's appropriate, but perhaps other people would.
So this is JJ. Just thinking about something that could be more temporary in nature, but provide the same function as those seawalls, perhaps metal, the laser cut metal. I've seen some very nice things done with that material that there could be some designs cut into them that would reflect that particular location, and those could be, you know, bolted down and then removed, you know, at the end of it.
I think that helps to sort of clarify what I'm thinking, which is if you build a seat wall, it looks as though it's part of the historic fabric.
Yes.
But if you add benches, it makes it clear that this is something that is not the historic fabric. And I think that's actually where my concern lies.
That makes perfect sense.
I think, you know, something that had did the same function as the those seawalls could be done out of laser cut metal, and it wouldn't look like it was part of the historic fabric, but it would be removable, and it would be visually pleasing.
Right. The other bench design would be appropriate too. So.
A bench doesn't quite do the same function, I think, as the seawall. That's, you know.
I think seating is good. I mean, I approve of the idea of seating just in general. But yeah, I think that's why I'm concerned, is the sense that maybe we will create a sense that this is actually historic when it's not.
Understood.
So I think the difference would be if it's temporary in nature and if it is more of site furnishing and less of an architectural element.
Right. Absolutely.
Okay.
So just advising, right? So.
We are just advising, I think. But I think we could make a motion so that we have a common voice for our input. So if somebody would like to make a motion, that would be welcome.
Okay. I guess the motion is to clearly distinguish between what is permanent and what is temporary. Mm-hmm. And one case in particular is the question of the seawall, whether that, if constructed as indicated here, would create a false sense of the historic fabric.
Mm-hmm. So this is JJ. I'll make a motion that our major concern is that things that are not historic appear historic, that it's clear what's temporary, and that we do have concerns about the seawall, and that they not appear, if used, not appear to be part of historic fabric, and that are done in such a way that they are removable.
Thank you. I would like to make one comment. I think we haven't discussed the plan as a whole. We did discuss the exceptions, but what is your sense of the plan as a whole?
Steve, you have a motion on the table.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Thank you.
You have a motion on the table. You need to make a second. Mm-hmm. And then you can discuss and amend the motion if you need be.
Great. Thank you. Do we have a second? Sorry. No, I appreciate that.
Helen will second.
Okay. So we have talked about the exception, but have we discussed the all of the plan as a whole? And so I would encourage just to say if it were me personally, I'm not trying to put words into the motion, but I would encourage something that because of its temporary nature, the plans as presented are appropriate or something like that. And mm-hmm. then exception.
Mm-hmm. This is Chan. I just wanted a comment I meant to make earlier was I appreciated that you provided more detail about the structures and the scale mm-hmm. and how they related to the buildings. Regarding the exceptions, and the paint, I don't know if we have any recommendations, but it'd be good, Helen, maybe to hear, you know, how we feel about the paint and permanent versus temporary, and maybe have that discussion.
This is overall, I think this kind of a plan, I like it, and I think that it I think it, you know, really activates a historic area, and if you know, getting the general public out to you know, linger and enjoy an area that's historic, I think that's a good thing, and that's, you know, overall in general.
Could JJ amend her motion to express approval of the intention and overall plan?
Yeah, I'm happy to do that, to add that.
And Helen, as the second, are you comfortable with that?
Yes.
Okay. And that will be added to the motion.
And we're silent on the paint, is that correct?
I personally... One of the things that makes something temporary is its reversibility. And so one of my questions is, could the paint be power washed off of the surfaces so that it is truly temporary? And Amy or Stephen, do you have a sense of that?
So the all maintenance has to be incorporated into our temporary revocable easement. It's a contract between the city and Rio Nuevo. The paint will be listed in there. So all maintenance for the whole project will be listed in there, including the paint. And the Department of Transportation Mobility has advised us on three different options. At that sunset date, we can ask Rio Nuevo to remove it, to touch it up, to change it. This whole neighborhood will be paved in the next 10 years as part of the whole city's neighborhood paving process. We don't know when. They have a board just like y'all, and they choose which neighborhoods go, so we don't know that. At that point, we can use the where the bump outs are, where the bollards will be, that'll be the new curb. Or we could pave over it. If Rio Nuevo has that budget, they could repaint it to match identical. Yeah. Or at that point, that's kind of one of those temporary sunset date temporary decisions. So those were the two or three options that were presented to kind of manage that long-term vision of street painting. I hope that answered your question.
It did very much. So before changing of a curb location, I think that bringing that back before plans review subcommittee would be very important, because that's a modification to an to a historic streetscape. But we would be definitely something we would be happy to review at that time. The reversibility of it was mentioned in what you described, as it is reversible if it needed to go, or if it's repaved. So that, for me, alleviates a concern of permanence. Jan, did that answer your question?
Yeah, no, I just wanted to hear what the options were, because I think it is fairly permanent unless a proactive, either permanent or just continues to degrade unless there's a proactive action if the decision is that it's not working.
So, Jan, what you're really requesting is that at the sunset date, it be proactively determined whether the paint should stay or be removed?
It seems like it. I mean, personally, I'm not overly excited about the paint in that context and in many of the contexts, but it seems like we should be transparent about, you know, is it a fixture or do we have some options if it's not working or it doesn't feel compatible?
Okay, so now we have a very confused kind of.
Well, I think originally, Helen, your point of being clear about temporary versus permanent in the final design and how those are being addressed. So I think as you originally presented it, to me, it was fairly clear.
Well, perhaps. Yeah, perhaps, you know, rewording. Helen, could you reword?
Well, it's JJ's motion.
Yeah, it's my motion.
You can maybe you can JJ, you can withdraw your motion and just.
Oh, good. Thank you. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to withdraw my motion.
Okay. Do I have to withdraw the second to make this official?
Go ahead and withdraw.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that, but go ahead.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I have. Okay, so this is a revised motion, which is, first of all, that there are a couple of things. We appreciate the presentation. It was well done. It gave us a lot of information. And so we congratulate the group on that. The second thing is that the overall plan to activate the Presidio District is appropriate. And the third thing is that we would like to distinguish between permanent installations and temporary installations. And that those particular permanent installations of which are of concern to us is the continuance of the paint and the construction of the seat wall. Did that get everything? Steve?
I think so. And I'll note that the appropriateness is because of its temporary nature.
Yes.
Okay. Do we have a second?
I'll second. This is JJ.
Thank you. Any additional discussion or comments? Okay, I'll call a roll call on this motion. Jeff Elwind.
Aye.
Helen Erickson.
Aye.
Jan Mulder.
Aye.
JJ Lamb.
Aye.
And Steve Grady, aye. So thank you for your presentation, and thank you all for your very thoughtful consideration.
Steve, before yes. our guests leave, I just wanted to make one comment that came up at PRS, and it's more generic related to streetscapes. And this design apparently, like many, is relying on something. I may have the name wrong, but it's the city's shared space guidelines. And the question was asked at PRS whether PRS had ever reviewed and provided input into that, or Historic Landscapes had. And it sounds like we haven't. And it was suggested that it would be appropriate for some review so that there isn't a reliance as a default and maybe isn't compatible with historic considerations, or that historic considerations be at least acknowledged in there as part of the consideration at future design stops. So,
thank you. I'll make sure that the notes reflect that.
Dan, thank you for this. I think it's probably something we should put on a future agenda.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to go to current issues for information, discussion, and or action. And we'll start with Reed Park Master Plan. And do we have an update on that?
Hi, Steve. This is Jasmine.
Hi, Jasmine.
Hi. So the master plan is going to be scheduled for final mayor and council approval now that the Randolph opportunity study is complete, because that'll be an addendum to the master plan. But that's the only update I have. If you have any questions, I can bring them back to Greg and Lara.
So when is it going to mayor and council?
I don't believe that's been scheduled yet.
Okay. And is there any intention to have it reviewed?
No, not the master plan.
Okay. Is that something that we can ask to take a look at?
I will send that question up the chain.
Okay. Thank you, Jasmine. And feel free to contact us directly with that answer. But if there is an opportunity and we need to be in a timely fashion, we'll be happy to put together a meeting to accommodate that. Thank you. Okay, Armory Park Master Plan B. And I think we have presenters for that. Oh, that's
you. We do. So I'll kick things off, and then we'll pass over to our design consultants with ARC Studios, Matt Smith and Eric Barrett, for the presentation of the concept design that they've put together. So we did provide kind of a introductory presentation at a previous meeting, I think in this late summer, regarding Armory Park. So Armory Park has funding from Proposition 411, the Parks and Connections Bond, passed in November of 2018. It's $1.5 million for area lighting, for restroom renovation, for a shade over the stage, and a few other amenities there. So we proceeded down this path with ARC Studios as our design consultant, looking at what possibilities exist for Armory Park. And we're excited to be able to share, after a couple of rounds of engagement, also discussion with some of the members of this committee, what ARC Studios has come up with. So they're going to share their screen. I don't know if that's just kind of an open capability. Great.
Thanks, Jasmine. And thank you to members of the subcommittee for the opportunity to present this conceptual plan. As Jasmine mentioned, we have been working on this concept for about 9 months with our various consultants on the design team and gathering both stakeholder and community input and feedback. Before you are the existing positions of the park. And before I dive into this, we ask that the subcommittee review this as two separate projects, both the Children's Museum block with the concept for the playground and the Armory Park block itself. Our main scope and focus is on the Armory Park block, and then the Children's Museum is just shown for concept. So diving into the existing conditions, currently we had three main focuses. One was to activate the park. The other was to eliminate vehicular traffic and parking within the park. And the third was to restore the historical context while bringing in modern amenities and catering to the needs and requests of the community. So currently issues that we found within the park, as mentioned, staff parking within the park and vehicular traffic north and south, really doesn't lend to a pedestrian-oriented park. The other issue was the current stage. It is not the historical stage, the historical size, or in the correct location. There is no overhead shade, and the size of the stage is severely smaller than the historic, which limits functionality and events. The other issue is the existing shuffleboard, bocce, and horseshoe courts. They are not in the original historical location. These were from the 1970s improvements, and these activities have just fallen out of favor, and that space is significantly underutilized. As mentioned previously, with the vehicular traffic in the park, this is because of two openings, two large curb cuts within the park. There are vehicular gates, but they are mostly always open, allowing traffic to flow freely in the park. And then the last item we focused on with the existing conditions was that the west entrance or exit from the recreation center is not accessible. Moving into the proposed conceptual site plan, you can see a number of changes, the biggest one being the centrally located plaza performance area. We're not calling this a stage. It is going to be at grade level. It's not going to be elevated. We are proposing that any large events bring in their own portable stage. This area is about 30 by 60 with an overhead shade structure. We haven't really worked through what that shade structure is or the function or form of it. We're providing some options. This may lend back to the historic band shell design, or it could be something completely different, like shade sails or just a metal overhead canopy. Behind this central plaza area, we tie back into the recreation center. There is about a 2-foot grade change from the threshold of the recreation center out to the park. And we're bringing that back up with ramps, planters, and stairs, showing us this area right adjacent to the building. The main plaza area then branches out to the existing diagonal pass, and we're proposing bringing in a north-south 10-foot-wide concrete path. This path would serve a few functions. It would bring in a strong central lay of trees, mimicking historical double row of trees. And it would also allow for vehicular travel within the park, controlled through bollards. We anticipate big vehicular traffic in the park for maintenance and for dropping off park stages, chairs, whatnot, for any performances. To the north of the plaza area, we're proposing a small and dog park, or small and large dog park. These are about the size, if not smaller, than the ones currently at Anza Park. We're not looking at them as a large, fully functioning dog park, but more of a relief area that still allows for dogs to run around. The dog park would be located more or less in the footprint of the existing horseshoe, bocce, shuffleboard courts. Expand out a little bit, but with a diagonal fencing, maintains the sight lines to the stage area. Fencing for this, I'll go over on a few of the next slides, what we're looking at for that. Moving to the east, another aspect of the bond is to restore the restrooms. Currently, we don't have a lot of information on this, but we're working with Swaim Associates to develop how to make that more visible, how to increase safety and security. One idea we are looking at is removing both portions of the north wall and east wall to increase visibility there. But we don't have anything to show for that at this moment. Moving around the park, another option, an idea we're looking at is parking. There's currently enough funding within the bond measure to fully redo parking, but we're looking at restriping where possible, adding accessible spaces, moving them around closer to the restroom, closer to entrances to the park. Along the northwest corner, or sorry, northeast corner, in the existing island where there are a few saguaros, we are proposing to add 8 staff parking spaces, and this would be just for staff parking. This would get them out of the center of the park and over this area. We would work around any of the existing vegetation in there, mainly the saguaros, while adding in some other native vegetation like ironwood trees. As far as surfacing within the park, we would maintain all of the grass areas, restoring and adding in more grass area in front of the performance area, as well as adding grass to where the stage was and around where the shuffleboard courts are. Now moving over to the Children's Museum block. Again, this is just a quick concept. Swaim Associates is working with the Children's Museum to develop this further, especially with the acquisition of the new building to the northwest of the Children's Museum and expanding their northern entrance and connection to that. With the playground, we are proposing more or less an open playground with no fencing. Fencing along the street, we are calling a barrier, an artistic barrier. It wouldn't be a formal fence, but more of art, sculptures, pots, things just to delineate the space, but not be viewed as a full fence. The playground surfacing would work around the historically listed trees. And as far as the surfing itself, we are looking at either artificial turf, colored rubberized surfacing, something to mimic the existing grass that would be replaced. As far as play structures and amenities, it's like the restroom. We do not have much to share on that at this time. As mentioned, Swaim Associates is working on concepts and funding for that, and they have a much more overarching idea for that. But currently, we're just showing natural play elements, some smaller balance beams, rockers, things like that, just to show conceptually how this space might fill out. And then for the two sites, we had looked at restoring the trees to the park, both the double lined along pedestrian routes. Currently, it's not feasible with the budget to add in the double line, redoing most of the parking, adding in more curb, more planting areas. But where possible, we're adding back in at least one line of trees. So on the Armory Park block, there are existing trees that are probably historic and date back to the double row, older ash. Those will be evaluated and either replaced as needed in kind, but then added back in between to maintain a historical character of treescape. Now on to materials. So as mentioned, we're still working through ideas for the overhead shade structure, but this is some of what we are thinking. Again, we are working with Swaim Associates. They have some ideas on this, whether we go back to the historic band shell, bring some type of backdrop, or if it's just an overhead shade structure, whether a solid roof or shade sails. And then lastly, some of the materials proposed, Arizona ash, historic tree. These would go along the perimeter of the park, along the sidewalks. Chinese pistache and the Joe Lion Indigo. Those are two options we propose for that north-south pedestrian path lay. And then lastly, the Ironwood would go with the staff park into more of that desert native garden design in the 70s. Flatwork surfacing throughout the park. That's not grass. We propose quarter inch minus decomposed granite. This would allow flexibility. Some of it can be compacted, left naturally compact over time. And then in those areas that aren't fully designated flex space within the park, benches could be brought back, chess tables, ping pong, whatnot, and be placed in these areas to then further activate the space as funding or whatnot comes along. Lastly, concrete. Concrete would be mostly as it is now. Gray coloring, either broom finish or exposed aggregate to match the existing. Broom finish would go mostly in the pedestrian routes, and then the performance plaza area would be delineated by some form of exposed aggregate, sandblast finish, something to just delineate it, but not make it stand out too much. And I guess it wasn't lastly, but lastly now, fencing. So fencing for the dog park, we're looking at a few options. One, to bring in the historical context of the neighborhood and what we can use there, or something completely different to bring in openness and sight lines. So the two pictures are ones at the Blenheim Inn and the others just across the street, a more modern variant of that, a staggered kind of spear-tipped picket fence. And then the two options to the right of that are from a fence manufacturer that offers something similar. We could go either with a rounded top to eliminate any safety issues with a spear tip, or go on the historic staggered spear tip fence. And then, as mentioned, another option would be more of a pipe fence, open fence, maybe that staggered, but it would eliminate rails and increase sight lines throughout the fence or throughout the park.
Thank you, Matt. I just need to interrupt for just a moment. For the recording, Jen Mulder has needed to leave the meeting, and she left the meeting at 10:28. Thank you. Please continue.
That's a great stopping point, Stephen. That's the end of my presentation. I'll open it up to Eric and Jasmine if they have anything to add. Otherwise, open to questions.
Matt, thanks. Great job. One thing we definitely need to talk about was the existing lighting. We are retaining the historical lightings. We are evaluating the areas where how the areas that may be seen dark and see how we can treat those and enhance those lights. We have spoken with Chris Monrad, who's done the evaluation on the lights fixtures. He said in most cases we can relamp the current lights and increase the intensity of the light to some level and still provide a historical context that's not overbearing or too impactful. And so we're going, part of the lighting and electrical upgrades is also a key component of our component with us for the Armory Park itself. Otherwise, I don't have anything else to add. I think Matt did a great job. So.
Thank you. Now for questions and comments.
This is Helen. I would just like to say that I saw this presentation previously with the Armory Park Historic Zone Advisory Board. And so I think it would be valuable if I listen to what other people say, and then I can give you a brief summary of the comments that I made previously.
Thank you. So Armory Park is, because it's a neighborhood that I've been in and I've done a lot of the research in the 1990s for it, I'll start commenting. The idea of succession planting of the trees and returning that rhythm and perimeter tree planting is fantastic. It's something that is long awaited, and we really appreciate that being part of, or I really appreciate that being part of the plan. The maintenance of the historic Italian cypress alleys is also a really character-defining feature of this park, and thank you for maintaining that. The scent, putting, reducing the drive-through traffic and amount of paving and basically creation of a parking lot in the center of the park. Removal of that is by bollards instead of gates that are almost perpetually open is very welcome. The relocating of the band shell in its symmetrical and central location. The band shell had historically been on the back of the armory, but it's a place that that shade structure, the performance space, is traditionally where the sight lines are and where almost any community event has happened for since 1901 when the park went in. The addition of parking within the non-historic northeast corner is seems appropriate, especially when you consider the removal of potentially necessary parking from the park itself. So although changing of the curb line and everything, it is a non-historic configuration. So, and it seems to me a favorable outcome, removing cars from inside the park. The element that is of most concern for me is not the function of the dog park, but the fencing of the dog park. Anything that changes historic openness of the park, that ability to just walk in and through, especially for larger events that traditionally utilize all of the space, marches, rallies, those sorts of things. I appreciate that you are keeping visual connectivity, but physical flow has been interrupted by the small dog park area. And I personally feel that that is an inappropriate feature within this small, very important and historic park. So those are my comments going in. And I open it up for anybody else who has comments or questions.
This is JJ. I really like the, you know, restoring the trees, the plantings, and putting the now my mind's gone blank. The performance area back in its original location really restores the symmetry. I really like that. Overall, this looks really well thought out. Okay.
Thank you.
Jeff, I don't know if Jeff wants to weigh in here. Otherwise, I'll just repeat what I've said in sort of concise form, probably just to have it on the record for this meeting. Jeff? Am I cutting you off? Okay. So first of all, I really commend the designers for their understanding of the basic structure of the City Beautiful Park. I think this is a great improvement. The placement of the stage, the respect of the geometry, all of this is fantastic. And also the succession planting of trees. We talked about that a little because this is obviously an ongoing thing. But as a first step, this is fantastic. The stage, I think, given your concern that it should be for multi-use, I think the idea that was presented or discussed briefly, the idea of a stage that could be installed and removed as needed. I think this is great. And I think that one place you might look for something like this that has a portable bandshell, probably, Eric, you remember, because we talked about this for the TCC, is Wenger Corp, WENGERCORP.com. And they have some interesting possibilities in terms of convertible stage facilities that might be helpful here. With the dog park, I agree that here's the conflict always. You know, open space is something that's not used every day. So if you're talking about space in this park, you would be talking about something like the Women's March, which really took the whole space, and the dog park area that you're outlining here would very much have been filled with people. And so that is, in some ways, the dedicated purpose of this kind of park. So I think that needs to be brought into consideration. I think visually, where you have placed the dog park is appropriate. I think, as I said before, that instead of using traditional fencing that would, you know, significantly separate this area from the rest of the park in a visual way, that such things as what we did with Ansa Park might be considered. I also think that using turf within the dog park itself would help to preserve this continuity. One comment about the playground, the fact that it's not fenced, I think is totally appropriate. I like what's being done with that, but I question the use of actual artificial turf there. And I think we just, we don't know at this point. We're starting to look at studies of the impact on the total environment of artificial turf, not just the temperature at surface. And I think that's something that needs to be reconsidered. But this was a great presentation. I think your design is extremely sensitive to the historic character of the park, unlike a design that was presented, what, 3 years ago, I guess, which really did not take any of that into account. And I thank you for that.
Thank you.
So I think it's helpful for us to make a motion so that we can have united input on mm-hmm. this. And so, but I would encourage it to be in two separate motions. I haven't commented on the Children's Museum Carnegie Block side yet, because I really wanted to concentrate, as you had recommended, Matt, on the Armory Park side at first in two different distinct motions. So would anybody like to make a motion?
So this is Helen. I'll be going for it. First of all, I would like to commend the designers for their respect for the City Beautiful design of the park, and also the succession planting of trees. We approve the positioning of the stage and its use as a temporary stage structure. The dog park is a concern because of the breaking up of potential public space. But as designed, we would like to see it as transparent as possible, which would include transparent type fencing and turf rather than DG for the surface. Have I forgotten anything?
Succession planting.
I think I mentioned that at
yes.
as a commendation.
Well, we need a second before we have discussion.
This is JJ, I'll second.
Okay. I believe in this park setting that the addition of any fencing that prevents the physical flow from one space to another would change the character of the park functionally. I appreciate the application, but I feel from an historic landscape standpoint, a design landscape, that the addition of a vertical element that changes the physical patterns flow would be inappropriate.
So I could amend the motion to say that in terms of I talked about the open space design of the City Beautiful movement, and we would tend to reject the idea of breaking an open public space into units of specific use, that we would prefer this to remain a generalized space. Does that suit you, Steve?
It does, but the second would have to approve it as well.
JJ?
Yes, that's fine.
Okay. Additional comments or discussion?
Steve, can I comment on something real quick?
Yes, sir.
So the reason we were showing the playground and the dog park is because those were the two most requested components of the neighborhood and the community. We looked at length to try to find other sites around our site to see where we could possibly put a playground and or dog park. Even looking at the TUSD, there was discussion the other day about TUSD maybe considering them reopening their campus up, but we were told that that was a no-go from the start. So we're still in flux in that. My one thought on the dog, I will leave the playground as it is. I don't want to get into that one per se at this point, but for the dog park, is if we were to find a way to, and I'm torn on this because I have dogs and it's kind of difficult for how to approach this. But if there is a way that we could provide the key in component of access, you know, securing a dog's, you know, the two-step process going into a dog park and the north-south fence and that little section that kind of separates the two that we're currently seeing there, and then have the rest of the fence be some kind of paneling system that could be removed so that majority of that fence could be removed for large events, if that became the scenario where we provide a flexible space and basically maintaining the open space as it is and then allowing for open free dog park play when that's a desired component at times.
So for me, the temporary nature of something, even though it may be up for a long time, being designed in a way that could modify or change it for large events would be a big plus. From an historic standpoint, something that is temporary is reviewed very, very differently than something that is a permanent. So I would appreciate that.
I think, Eric, I think that's a really good plan, because I think just as the stage space, you're talking about something that can be configured in different ways depending upon the needs of the space. This might be a solution for use of that particular area of the park.
Okay, thank you for considering it. I mean, we have a lot of work to still do, so we're just early stages here, but we want to make sure we're on the right track. So thank you.
Yeah, this is JJ. I think it's really, really important to accommodate the needs of the surrounding neighborhood, you know, while, you know, respecting the historic nature of the area too. So I think that temporary, you know, if that works out, that's a great solution.
Helen, is that something that you would be willing to add into your motion or amend the motion? Maybe we start over again.
Maybe I should start from the beginning. Maybe I should withdraw this motion and start over.
Okay, so if you withdraw, then the second, JJ.
The second, yeah, this I withdraw.
Okay, and Helen.
So, I first of all, we commend the team for their design that takes that respects the City Beautiful character of the park, and especially the succession planting for the trees. We are concerned about the segregation of part of the park to be used specifically as a dog park. And we would encourage the possibility of designing that also as a flexible space that could be temporarily opened up if you had a large group that needed to use the entire park. We also commend the idea of a flexibly designed stage space. And obviously its position restores the geometric character of the park. Did I leave something out?
I think that's good. Do we have a second?
This is JJ, I'll second.
Thank you. Further discussion or comment? Then we will do a roll call for a vote. Jeff Elwind. I think I heard aye. Helen Erickson?
Aye.
Jan Mulder has left the meeting. JJ Lamb?
Aye.
And Steve Grady, aye. Thank you so much for your thoughtful work on this project. I would like to take a look at the, or discuss the Carnegie Block, modifications as well with the playground. And so one of the things that I noted on there is that there is a seawall. And again, we have that same, I think that's 19, which is a seawall. Yes.
Correct, 19 is a seawall.
Yeah. So again, we're looking at breaking up what was traditionally open space, even with something which is a low feature. I personally believe that the geometry, although very attractive, is different from the City Beautiful approach with the diagonal alleys, which would have left a simpler approach to the formation. But I do see the breaking up of space. Other comments or questions on this?
Again, this is Helen. The two concerns that I would have, again, I'm assuming this is very conceptual idea here. Again, I appreciate the fact that you have the concept of a playground that is not fenced. And I would also encourage the idea you definitely need seating. So perhaps instead of a seat wall, there is the possibility of movable seating involved there. I think, again, the open space question is really the fundamental part. And I do appreciate the fact that you are looking at a segment within the City Beautiful design.
Thank you. Other questions or comments? So, do we want to have a motion on that one?
Steve and Helen and the whole team, can you guys, I mean, the idea of trying to incorporate a playground on the north side of this, is that something that is favorable or not favorable? Just a general question.
So I'll jump in first. When you take a look at the open nature, the non-programmed nature of the park-like setting of the original Carnegie Library and now the Children's Museum, adding elements such as a playground is into a park-like space is in utilizing it. I mean, yes, the neighborhood will be able to utilize it, and that would be nice. Is slightly problematic if it's perceived as more of a temporary installation, more like furniture, and less like a permanent, and you know, if it's perceived and if it's if it leaves as much of the original open space intact, had a lawn surface, it was something that could easily be reversible in nature. And aspects of this look like that, with the exception of the artificial turf, I think that's very helpful. That's my own feeling. The most permanent element, and I understand why they're doing it, it's a visual barrier. You say, children, you can't cross this seawall, right? It's creating a barrier without creating a strong visual breakup or barrier. I appreciate it, it's being there, but it is something that for its park-like setting really does change the character of that historic landscape.
I am wondering, actually, if a walkway would not have to have a certain impact that would be almost identical. Peter Howell, I have just had the experience of taking my 4.5-year-old grandson to a, what you might call a rather dorky playground. It is not fenced. It does have turf. It has playground equipment. But it also has freestanding seating for adults. And I'm wondering to what extent that would be possible. I realize that there's an additional problem down here, Eric, which is the question of people leaving, shall we say, unsanitary garbage all over the area, which is something you want to keep children away from. I'm not sure that a seat wall or artificial turf or anything is going to actually deter that. But I see that that's one of the problems you have to deal with too. But I did notice that the children who are playing on this particular playground, there was a pathway that went by and they stayed on this side of the pathway. It was almost as though there was a visual barrier that seemed to work.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's a good observation, Helen. And a seat wall, is that going to encourage, is it going to become a resting place?
Benches will as well. That's always been a challenge, right? When you have an unhomed population. Do
Yeah.
you, whenever you create a space that is welcoming to lots of people, does it become welcoming to people who may utilize the space in an inappropriate way? The changing of the turf on that north side with that form is also something that is less appropriate because visually it changes the form. The form is eroded, but the form is still pretty intact of that diagonal allée Beaux-Arts form. I do appreciate the tree allée on the north. Originally, there were the double trees on all sides, and I see that even a little bit of the double tree, the two tree allée is represented, and that's something that's really exciting to see in this park. So, I'm not sure if we need a motion on this or if this is so preliminary. What's your feeling, Jody?
It's my understanding this was just a preliminary foray into the master plan. Like a, it would be something that would be a courtesy review for PRS. It was a courtesy review for Armory Park. When it was originally presented to me, Elliot, who is the project manager, was looking to get a feel for the dog park and whether or not it would fly with Armory Park residents. So I mean, you can put your comments or concerns more concisely for them so they have it, or it's how you want to do it.
Thank you, Jody. I think that's a great idea so that we have a common voice. So let's go ahead and somebody like poor Helen, you have been the motion maker for all of these.
How about throwing JJ into this?
Okay, JJ, would you like to make a motion?
Did we lose JJ?
Let me double check. We still have a quorum.
I'm not seeing JJ anymore.
Okay, so let it be noted that we may have lost JJ at a little before 11 o'clock. Okay, then I will make a motion to alleviate this. This is in regards to the Children's Museum or Carnegie Block's north side playground area. We commend that the space retains its, or we appreciate that the space retains the Beaux-Arts form of the pathways from the corners, that the that there is a row of trees similar to the historic allée on the north side, and that it is not a fenced area. Elements of concern are the breaking up the ground plane with a seat wall, and the artificial turf breaking up continuity. We would prefer a the continuation of the natural turf. And the form itself, which adds a design element that is inconsistent with, which is the three semicircular forms, which is had been in, was inconsistent with the original Beaux-Arts design or City Beautiful design of the park. Space, which has always been occupied by a building. Okay.
Okay, this is Helen. I will second.
Comments or questions? Okay. And I'll do a roll call for Jeff Elwind.
Aye.
Helen Erickson.
Aye.
JJ Lamb, in case she's returned. Oh. Steve Grady, aye. So again, thank you very much for your thoughtful approach to this and bringing this to the Historic Landscape Subcommittee.
Thank you.
I'd be amiss if we didn't say it, but thank you to Helen and yourself for your invaluable research and information you gave us that really guided our design.
Thank you. Okay, so we'll move to item C, which is Rockman Motels, Tucson Inn, etc. JJ is the one who traditionally comments on this. Anything? Okay. Thank you. So Jody Brown will be leaving the meeting at approximately 11:03. Anybody who'd like to comment on this? So no comment on that or no update. Item D, the issues and for collaboration between the Transportation Subcommittee and the Historic Landscape Subcommittee. That would also have been JJ Lamb. So no report at this time. Historic Landscape Subcommittee's possible role in researching, nominating, reviewing rural cultural landscapes. I think that's thank you. Helen, anything on that, or do you think we should just no report at this time?
That was really something JJ was going to work on as well.
Okay, so no report at this time. Follow up on Villa Catalina replacement of turf with artificial turf?
Steve Grady, that is, you probably have more information about that than anyone.
So I know that Rochelle Hornby had applied for grants and was waiting for grant monies for some of the equipment to monitor this space, but she is definitely following up. And that research that is done, which really talks about environmental impact of the environmental environment as a whole rather than surface temperature, will be research that will be useful on many levels. I think that's all I have for now. Future agenda items for upcoming meetings?
I think we should add the request that Jan made for looking at the general public space review.
Thank you, Helen. And I'll add that for our next meeting. Call to the audience. No audience, nothing was brought forward. So nothing was sent in. And so we will adjourn at without, unless somebody has future comment or questions, we will adjourn at 11:06. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you. Bye-bye.